It's a wee bit at odds this morning, but I was reading a great book, When Jesus Returns, by David Pawson. David Pawson's one of my favourite preachers, and it's a powerful, powerful book, and it's certainly something I can make comment about today. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 24, which he draws a lot of comment from. Matthew 24 from verse 4, and this is quite good. We're a bit thin on the ground today, but I suppose it's understandable. I know people have been saying that, for example, John and Myra, the snow was falling quite heavily up in Lintrathen. Here we go then. Jesus answered them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine, epidemics, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will hand you over to be persecuted and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise and will deceive many, because iniquity will abound and the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Jerusalem flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not return to take his clothes. Woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse in those days. Pray that your escape will not be in the winter or in the Sabbath. For then will be a great tribulation, such as had not happened since the beginning of the world until now. No, nor ever shall be. Unless those days were shortened, no one shall be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then anyone who says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There is the Christ,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive you, if possible, even the elect. Listen, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, 'Look, he's in the desert,' do not go there. Or, 'Look, he's in the private chambers,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes over the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the carcass is there, the eagles will gather together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." Amen. I'm going to stop there because that's one of the great chapters about the return of the Lord. And many of us worry, many of us think, gosh, times are pretty serious. Global warming, for example, that's been the big call for the last 3, 4, 5 years, where sea levels can rise. And it's been predicted in National Geographic magazine, September 2013, that by the year 2070, the sea will have risen 170 meters. Towns like London, Rotterdam, New York, New Orleans, Shanghai will be underwater. Their loss to buildings, to the ecosystem, will be enormous. The growth in the world population. The world population stands at 7.8 billion. It is increasing at 80 million per annum, 80 million per annum. There are natural disasters, storms, volcanoes, tsunamis occurring at an increased rate. We have bushfires suddenly breaking out in Australia. Well, not suddenly, but intensely, more than ever in Australia, in California. The threats of wars and rumors of wars, Ukraine, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. Epidemics, the coronavirus. We used to talk about Asian flu touching the world, and we thought, yeah, okay, it's been there. We're talking about the coronavirus touching everywhere globally. Third world countries particularly badly affected because they haven't taken up the vaccine. We're talking about racial issues, where it's always been something, but these days it's being highlighted. Ozone depletion, the rise of methane and carbon dioxide. And of course, if you think about all these things, you can think, goodness me, where will we be in 10 or 20 or 30 years? Where will our children be? What will our grandchildren suffer at the depletion of all these resources? The natural resources coming out of the earth, although we're trying to go green, there are certain things that come out of the earth that we need, metals and other things that we use. So there's a lot to worry about if you're of that mind. And yet the Bible makes it very clear, do not worry, because God is ultimately in control. Regardless of what's happening on planet Earth, he is ultimately in control. And yet man has advanced in knowledge. Amazingly, the Hubble Space Telescope, great moves in space exploration. The first flight was 25 yards in Kitty Hawk in 1903. The first man flew across the channel in 1909. 60 years after that first flight over the channel, man was walking on the moon. Staggering, absolutely staggering. Deep sea exploration. They're talking about looking for the wreck of the Endurance 2 miles down under the Antarctic ice. Amazing. The exploration in deep sea. The advanced information technology. Here is an amazing statistic here, which I found. Dr. David Lewis wrote a book called Impulse in 2013. Let me read this. Since the dawn of modern civilization to 2003, a period of 5,000 years, human activity generated 5 billion gigabytes of information. Between 2003 and 2010, the same amount of information was generated every 2 days. By 2013, it was generated every 10 minutes. Within hours, it had exceeded all the information contained in all the books ever written. The advance of computers. The phone that you have in your pocket is probably the same as was used in Bletchley Park when they were decoding the Enigma machine that the Nazis had. We have advanced in an amazing amount with knowledge in IT. Solar energy, medicine and vaccines. Coronavirus, they managed to get this vaccine out within months, when normally it would take years. Surgical procedures have advanced. There is somebody on planet Earth who is living with a pig's heart, genetically modified so it wouldn't be rejected, or less chance of being rejected. The genetic manipulation of crops. Armaments, drones can be used against the enemy with somebody sitting hundreds of miles away watching on their little monitor where the enemy is and literally killing or firing at them. Radar-guided bombs. And yet, despite that tremendous advance in energy and knowledge, 2 Timothy 3, verse 7 says, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's true. They're making such tremendous advances, and yet they will deny there is a God. Brian Cox writes his book. He's a great communicator on television. And yet, the end of his book, he talks about the progress of science. He says, it's amazing that there are some things we don't understand. Where did it all start? There are some things we don't understand. He is not prepared to accept. It started with a divine intelligence. They don't want to admit that there is a God that they are answerable to. In this book, Pawson says, this same Jesus, this is what the Bible says, this same Jesus will return in like manner. The disciples stood in the Mount of Olives and he was taken up. This same Jesus will return. Same Jesus. What does that mean? It will be the same physical Jesus with the marks of the crucifixion, but that same body that can walk through solid walls and can move from one area to the other without the motivation that we have. Amazing. He will carry the marks of crucifixion. It will be the same Jesus that we can expect. There are signs in the world. Matthew 24 speaks about disasters. Disasters on a global level. We've already gone into this, where you're talking about tsunamis and volcanoes. We're talking about climate change, the heating of the world. And that will be followed by desertion in the world. The love of many will grow cold. Now, I've heard people say, but no, we're waiting for a great revival. Maybe there will be a revival, but it will not necessarily be global, because the love of many will grow cold. And that is true. People take offense easily, leave church. People say, we don't need God. We've got all the comfort and all the resource we need. Why do you bother with God? Why would you go to church? We don't need a God. And they discount the fact that they're answerable to a God who cares. The love of many will grow cold. Look at the number of churches that have been turned into other buildings, other accommodation, Indian restaurants or furniture stores or art galleries or whatever. The love of many will go cold. Antiochus Epiphanes was a dictator who erected a pagan statue in the Holy of Holies and sacrificed a pig in the temple. And he started a lot of great, intense persecution against the Jews. Pawson says, there will arise another dictator in the Middle East. He says, if you look at the book of Daniel, it says, in the end times, another dictator will arise. So when we look for the signs of Jesus' return, we're looking for disasters in the world, which have always been, incidentally, but they are more intense and in a great global sense now as ever, never before. Deserters in the church. And then we look for this person who might even be born now, we don't know, who will arise and persecute. He will be absolutely against those who stand for God and for Jesus Christ. And then the last sign will be darkness in the sky. There will be some astronomic, stupendous happening where the moon will not give its light and the sun will be darkened. These are the signs. Disasters in the world, deserters in the church, a rise of a dictator in the Middle East, and some astronomical phenomenon that prevents the sun from shining. And then Jesus will return. He will return. We're waiting for the disaster. We're waiting for the dictator in the Middle East and then the darkness in the sky. But all these other signs are being fulfilled. I remember Pawson saying, we don't know when Christ is going to return. But he said, I'll tell you the month. And I remember saying, How can he possibly tell us the month? He says, God is a God of order. The Passover, when Jesus celebrated the Passover, it was a mirror image of the Passover in Egypt, when the angel flew over the land of Egypt and they had painted the doorposts and the lintels with the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus duplicated that. His ceremony, the time he had in Jerusalem before the crucifixion, was at the time of the Passover. The law was granted in Mount Sinai, and we celebrate Pentecost, which is exactly 50 days after Passover. The law was granted 50 days after Passover, as Pentecost is celebrated today, 50 days after Passover. He says, in the month of Tishrei, and that is the Jewish month, it's between September and October, it laps over the two. There are three things that happen then. There is the Feast of Trumpets. There is the Ceremony of Atonement in the temple. There is the Feast of Ingathering. And Pawson says that is when Christ will return. He's a God of order. Passover, Pentecost, and the Ingathering and the Feast of Trumpets. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. And Pawson makes the point. He will return sometime September, October, a year that we do not know when, but immediately after these astronomical signs are shown in the eye, shown in the nation. What are the lessons? What are the lessons? Matthew 24, be watchful. Be watchful. Be on your guard. Don't let your devotion slide. Don't be one of those whose love grows cold and says, ach, what's the point? Eat, drink, and be merry. It doesn't matter. Keep going. Keeping Christ as the center of your devotion and your image. Be watchful. Be on your guard. Don't let anyone take you away from what you're believing in. Don't listen to the false prophets, to other philosophies. Focus on what the book says. Romans 12:2 says, live transformed lives. Be transformed. Don't resist the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, but learn to be transformed and grow the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that you can be identified not by what you say, but by how you live. So people around you will recognize, hey, they are different. Why are they different? Because they have met Jesus. Grow the spiritual fruit, Galatians 5, 16 to 20. And then in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, be ready to give an account. It's so easy to soften what you're going to say. Somebody's very ill, we'll be thinking of you, instead of saying, we'll be praying for you. Sometimes we neglect to say the gospel. We're so quick at giving these platitudes instead of presenting what Christ would want us to do. I pray that we will indeed rise to the occasion, that we will indeed show that we are ready, we are watchful, we are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, that we'll not be upset about all those things that are going on around us, like global warming and wars and rumors of wars and epidemics and all the rest, but we'll know he is in charge and that we can trust him with our future. And as you grow older, you begin to think, oh, well, what's going to happen to me? You don't worry about these things. The Lord of heaven, Jesus Christ, is the one who is going to look after and make provision for you and for me in the days to come. I pray that we will indeed become an influence in the community again. We have been, we will be. And I pray that we'll live devoted lives, that we'll live as though Christ is about to return. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, The Messiah is predicted. And as you look at Paul's letters and even the words of Christ himself, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And there was an expectancy there in the New Testament. Hey, it's going to happen in our lifetime. It's going to happen almost immediately. But of course, we are still waiting. It could be another 100 years. It could be next year. We don't know. But we look for these signs. The rise of this dictator in the Middle East. The astronomical phenomena around us. And then the trumpet of the Lord will sound. Where will we be? Where will I be? I hope we're saying, Lord, I'm ready. Amen. That was very short today, but that's the way it is. Thank you.